I'm Dan Hughes in the Softball Corner. George Crisp was proud to be the oldest player on his church's slow-pitch softball team. He was 55 years old and had been pitching for over a quarter of a century. He'd discovered his talent for pitching when he was in the Navy, and he'd been on the mound ever since. For the past several years, George pitched for the Temple Baptist Church team in Herndon, Virginia, about 15 miles west of Washington, D.C. George was a popular custom home builder in the D.C. area. He had built his business from scratch over the years, and his six children helped him as they grew up. His wife Donna said he was quite the jokester, full of goofiness. He traveled on mission trips with his church, and he was the guy who kept everyone laughing. His pastor, the Reverend David Pittman, said that George was known for his cat-like reflexes while pitching and his ability to avoid being hit when screaming line drives came back at him. But last Saturday, George's reflexes failed him. On that day, he was pitching in a one-pitch church league softball tournament at the Potomac Lake Sportsplex in Sterling, Virginia. In this tournament, each team furnished its own pitcher, so George was pitching to one of his teammates. The batter hit a line drive back at George. George tried to jump out of the way, but he couldn't get his glove up in time, and the ball hit him in the side of the neck, just under his ear. The ball ruptured his carotid artery, and blood immediately flooded his brain. He was rushed to the hospital, and George Crisp died 5 hours later. Deaths in slow-pitch softball are rare, but they do happen. An 18-year-old Miami, Florida pitcher, Lazaro Garcia, was killed by a line drive to the chest. Maggie Hilbrands, a 12-year-old pitcher in Grand Rapids, Michigan, was killed when she was hit in the side of the neck by a line drive, almost exactly like George Crisp was killed last week. The obvious question here is what can be done? What should be done? Face masks for pitchers are available, but few pitchers use them. They look wimpy, pitchers say, and they hinder movement. But more importantly, they would not have prevented any of these deaths because they protect just the face, not the neck or the chest, which seem to be the most likely places for a line drive to kill. Moving the pitcher's plate back would help a lot. The farther the pitcher is from the batter, the more time the pitcher has to react to a batted ball. Many senior leagues allow the pitcher to stand several feet back from the pitcher's plate. This would also result in flatter pitches for batters, which batters love. Maybe every league should adopt this rule. What about a screen in front of the pitcher? That would solve the problem, but would it also destroy the game? There are bat power limits in many leagues. The largest softball organization in the United States, the American Softball Association, or ASA, bans bats that hit the ball more than 98 miles per hour. But other leagues have no restrictions, and even in the leagues that do restrict bats, there are cheaters. Bats can be shaved or rolled to increase their power, and stories abound about players who use illegal bats. Should all composite and aluminum bats be banned? Would that be like banning driving automobiles because people are killed in auto accidents? Should we crack down harder on the cheaters? How could we do that? There are machines that test bats to identify those that have been altered, but is it practical for every park to buy such a machine and then use it on every bat? I don't have the answers this time. But the families of George Crisp, Lazaro Garcia, and Maggie Hilbrands have every right to be asking those questions. Thanks for listening. For tips on playing, coaching, and managing adult slow-pitch softball, check out my website, slowpitchbook.com. That's slowpitchbook, all one word, .com. In the Softball Corner, I'm Dan Hughes.